This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profiles. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Welcome in, everyone. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I will be your host for the first hour, where we will cover a number of different markets with a little bit of a focus on the precious metals. I have another great show lined up for you this weekend, and hey, I hope that everybody does have a great long weekend, and I do appreciate everybody listening in and sending me the emails that I have been getting pretty consistently from our listeners regarding questions for companies, also regarding different topics for us to discuss on the show. I am kicking off this show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of The Felder Report. Jesse is a regular guest on our show, but if anybody has not been following along with his work, I highly recommend it. Jesse pays attention to a number of different markets, points out some very important trends to watch, and if you're a subscriber, also some trading strategies to take advantage of what he is seeing. I will post a link below in the weekend show posting to Jesse's website. I check out his website pretty much on a daily basis. Jesse and I are going to be spending the first two segments, and in this first segment, I do want to chat about the overall divergence in central bank policies, especially when you compare what the Fed has been doing in terms of a rate hiking, more generally a quantitative tightening, and you compare that to some of the other major central banks, the Bank of Japan, the ECB, who seem to keep kicking that can down the road in terms of getting more hawkish. Jesse, I just want to ask you, do you see a change coming? Do you see a bit more convergence rather than divergence in terms of central bank policies, say, in the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at the drivers of the dollar, it's pretty clear it's been this divergence in central bank policy. You know, when the dollar, soared several years back, and was it 2014, when it was when the dollar really took off, we saw the Fed talking about tapering, and at the same time, the ECB talking about, you know, negative interest rates. And so that divergence, you know, between the Fed getting more hawkish and the ECB getting more dovish resulted in a huge surge in the dollar in 2014 and into 2015. We've seen a kind of a similar thing, I think, you know, happened this year, where the Fed has, you know, been adamant about 4 rate hikes, and the ECB, you know, consistently like putting off its tapering, you know, program. And so that's, again, resulted in the dollar surging this year. But I think this divergence is, you know, I firmly believe this rally in the dollar is a bear market rally, and that, you know, it's just a matter of time before this divergence in policy turns into a convergence that, you know, we saw at the Jackson Hole meeting, some dovish rhetoric come out of, you know, on the part of the Fed. Powell was praising Alan Greenspan's policy of keeping interest rates very low in the 90s. I think that is kind of hinting at, there's been a lot of criticism of the Fed that they risk disrupting the current growth of the U.S. economy by raising rates too far, too fast, which in my mind is kind of silly because we're still, you know, the Fed funds rate is still negative in real terms. So they're not even essentially pursuing a tightening policy. It's still accommodative. But I do think the Fed is going to be in a position, maybe after this next rate hike we see next month in September, of being forced to kind of sit and see what are the effects of these 3 rate hikes having so far this year. And because we are seeing a slowdown in housing and auto sales and the trade more starting to have an effect. And if things start to slow, then it's going to start to really put pressure on them to slow the pace of rate hikes. At the same time, know, we're seeing pressure on the Bank of Japan and the ECB to, you know, I mean, they've both already kind of been in tapering mode. The Bank of Japan's been in stealth tapering. They just haven't had to buy as many bonds because the bond market doesn't even trade there. I think I saw something recently that yesterday, literally, the bond market didn't trade. There wasn't a single trade. And so they haven't needed to buy bonds to keep the interest rate where they've wanted to. And the ECB is, you know, starting to taper policy too. So we're already seeing a convergence in terms of central bank policy, which I think is clearly bearish for the dollar. This also goes along with the fundamental bear case of the dollar, which is a widening fiscal deficit here in the United States. You put all these things together, and it's a pretty bearish backdrop for the dollar going forward.
So, Jesse, if we look back to last year, 2017, I think the divergence between the Fed and the other major central banks was quite prevalent. The Fed was going through its rate hikes very much on track for what it said it was going to do. We had the ECB then on the flip side continue to waver and kick the can down the road in terms of tightening its monetary policy. We had the Bank of Japan not really change anything other than continue to inject money into the system, but yet throughout that year we saw the US dollar move down. Why did that happen when you understand the divergence in the markets thanks to the central banks?
Well, I think we're starting to see, I think in that early 2017, we're starting to see hints of this convergence. So the market wants to start discounting that. You know, the dollar soared from early 2014 until late 2016. And at that point, you know, we could see that, yes, the Bank of Japan and the ECB are going to soon have to follow suit, you know, follow in the footsteps of the Fed. I think that was also the dollar starting to anticipate, you know, rising fiscal deficits. And so there's a really close correlation between the dollar and the fiscal deficit. When the deficit widens, the dollar goes down. And, you know, so I think it's a combination of both those things. You know, it's really not, I think it's important to pay attention to relative central bank policy. So, you know, the Fed doesn't necessarily need to get dovish for the dollar to go down. It just needs to get dovish relative to those other central banks. And so even if it continues tightening policy, but does so at a slower pace relative to the ECB and the Bank of Japan, that's bearish for the dollar. But, you know, like I said, that's also, you know, there's already that fundamental driving force that's pushing the dollar lower. That's the widening, you know, fiscal deficit too. So when you combine both of those things, when they get aligned, we're going to see potentially like a, you know, Elliott wave theoreticians would call this like a third wave down in the dollar. And that's kind of what I'm looking for.
So, Jesse, before we get into that growing federal deficit, I do want to just quickly ask you about the potential or the timing of when the Fed could actually switch course and end its rate hikes. We hear a lot about that Fed funds rate reaching that neutral, what they consider neutral, at 3%. Do you think, A, the Fed gets there, and if they do get there, if that truly is where they stop the rate hiking cycle?
You know, so I think there's a combination of things going on right now. I think the Fed is going to start turning dovish because the economy is slowing. The problem with that is, at the same time, inflation is not slowing. So inflation signals are still very strong. And so, you know, this is where the Fed, you know, will find itself in a very difficult situation, which is, you know, do we continue to raise interest rates and fight inflation at risk of, you know, bursting the bubble in risk assets and potentially pushing the economy into a, you know, a self-reinforcing downturn, to use the words of Ray Dalio. And I think, you know, that's why they're going to err on the side of dovishness. But inflation, as long as they're not aggressive enough to rein in inflation, they're not going to be able to ease.
All right, Jesse, we are out of time for this first segment, but I am having you back on next segment. We're going to continue our discussion in terms of central bank policy, but then also look to what's happening in the precious metal sector and why you think there is still an opportunity here.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
When you use public Wi-Fi, hackers and identity thieves can see anything you do online. Embarrassing photos, your web history, even your passwords. That's why I use private internet access to encrypt my internet connection for less than 10 cents a day. Sign up now at privateinternetaccess.com, and in just a few minutes, you'll be browsing anonymously and only sharing what you want to share. Privateinternetaccess.com. It's time to protect your online privacy.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for a heart and body extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about heart and body extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The heart body extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2 month supply of heart and body extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
You're
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am continuing my conversation with Jesse Felder. And Jesse, last segment we talked a lot about the divergence in central bank policies around the world. But one thing you alluded to at the tail end of last segment was this growing fiscal deficit in the U.S. I want you to take us through what you're seeing in terms of the growth of the fiscal deficit and why it matters more this time, because in all fairness, it feels like we've been hearing about this deficit now for years over years over years.
Well, it's really the trend of it. So, you know, if you look at a chart of the dollar and the deficit's, you know, really widened, through the financial crisis. And that was, we had recession. And so government receipts went down and the government actually was pursuing, fiscal stimulus. And so the deficit widened and the dollar was weak, you know, through that period. Gold actually did very well at that time too. And we saw, you know, the deficit continued widening, you know, through 2010 and 11. And, you know, that's why, you know, gold didn't peak for a while. The dollar didn't bottom for a while through there. But what we're seeing now is it's extremely rare to see the deficit widen during an economic expansion. That's just, you know, it's not widening today because of recession, but it is still widening today because government receipts are going down. You know, with the tax cuts last year, we're seeing that, you know, now in the deficit. So the deficit is now back in a widening trend, and it's happening outside of recession. So right now we're expected to see $1 trillion fiscal deficit by 2020. And if we get a recession, we could easily see a $2 trillion deficit. The last time the deficit hit $1 trillion, you know, the dollar tanked and gold went, you know, gold soared. You know, if you want to see, you know, gold back at, you know, almost $2,000 an ounce, then you're rooting for the deficit to go wider. And actually, the deficit is going to, you know, soon within the next year or two, match that $1 trillion peak that we saw back in 2011-12. And so I, you know, naturally assume that gold is going to revisit that peak as well. And like I said, if we get a recession, the deficit goes, you know, potentially to $2 trillion, which would be hugely bearish for the dollar.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about while we're in this economic expansion, the deficit is continuing to grow and widen, and even the projections this year of $1 trillion, as you said, just think if we go through some sort of a recession or severe economic pullback, that deficit's only going to get wider. I see what you mean by saying look at the trend, and unfortunately the trend just continues to be higher and higher, but there is that fear of it exploding higher. I do now want to switch over to the precious metals. No doubt that this month, the last couple months actually, have been very bad for the metals. We got a weekly and a monthly close, more importantly, at right around $1,200. The monthly chart looks very much hampered by that recent price action. Also, silver and the stocks, so whether you look at GDX, HUI, or SLV, they're all also getting beat up, breaking below some support levels. Jesse, what do you have to say about the precious metals and that recent beatdown they've been taking?
You know, this is really interesting to me because since the, you know, before we went on the air, we were kind of talking about this briefly, that, you know, at the late 2015 low, nobody wanted to own gold. It was incredibly hated. I really feel like people hate it as much today as they did then. But when we saw that explosive rally out of the late 2015 low, I just heard from so many people say, oh, man, I missed it. And then we had, you know, a nice pullback in gold in late 2016. And everybody thought, oh, okay, here it comes. It's going to go to new lows. I can't buy it now. Right? They get the opportunity. And then gold explodes higher again in early 2017. And that was when the, you know, the dollar peaked. And gold soared, you know, $250 an ounce or something over the next 18 months. And now we see another, you know, 10% correction in the gold price, roughly. And people are, you know, saying, oh my gosh, I can't buy it now. And these are actually, you know, just classic to me corrections in a nascent bull market, in a brand new bull market. And so, you know, to me, it's just interesting to see, you know, how people react to these things. And that's actually can be one of the best tells to, you know, whether or not this is a good opportunity to buy. I think this pullback in gold is a gift to all those people who have been thinking that they've missed their chance to buy gold over the past couple of years.
Any comments on how long this bear market for the metals has lasted? You look back to that all-time high that gold reached back in 2011. We are 7 years into this bear market now, as long as you assume that that recent bounce in 2016 was really nothing more than a dead cat bounce, considering we're almost back to some of those levels, especially in silver and some of the stocks. What do you have to say about time frame here?
Yeah, I think December of 15 was the bear market low. I don't, you know, buy the idea that this is still a bear market. We haven't come close to when we basically came back, like I said, in late 16 and test and you know, came pretty close to testing that low. And since then, we have a series of higher lows. You know, that the definition to me of a downtrend is lower highs and lower lows, and we just don't have that since 2015. We have a series of higher lows, and we've yet to make that higher high. I think that's what is kind of holding people back is, you know, we made that high in July of 16, you know, about 1370-ish. And, you know, then we tested that again early this year and didn't break out. But to me, it looks like we're forming, you know, an ascending type of triangle pattern. We have so far a pattern of higher lows. And, you know, that's a bullish bottoming process in my view. So, yeah, I do think, yes, because gold peaked back in 2011, that it's been painful for who's been involved in it since then. But that's also, you know, it's that type of pain and that type of, memory of that pain that keeps people away and creates the foundation for a new bull market. I mean, if everybody were embracing gold today, it would not be a good opportunity to buy it. But the fact that we see these, you know, gold is dead as an investment class type of articles and things again is exactly the type of sentiment that you need to create a solid foundation for a new bull market.
Yeah, we are at a point where gold is so unloved that when it does turn, it could turn very quickly, but still right now it might take a little bit longer for everything to play out in the markets and for investors to finally switch their focus into the metals and even more into some safe haven assets. Hey, Jesse, it's great chatting with you. Really appreciate having you on the show. Again, Jesse is the founder of the Felder Report. Be sure to check out his website, and if you have any follow-up questions for Jesse or I, please, I can always be reached at fleck@kereport.com. Jesse, again, thank you for your time, and I hope that you have a great long weekend.
Thanks, Corey. Always a pleasure.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. They put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com, that's gusset.com, or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Aging is one thing that affects everyone. George has talked about the power of stem cells for years. Now, there's a new serum that harnesses that stem cell power to bring back your youthful look. Beverly Hills doctor, Nathan Newman.
Stem cells are basically our fountain of youth. This is what maintains our body's reparative, regenerative abilities. As we age, every cell breaks down and needs to be replaced, and what replaces it is the stem cell.
Dr. Newman and Jeunesse have developed Lumines. Lumines takes the science of stem cells using the same growth factor complex that literally heals our cells, slowing the appearance of the aging process. Apply Lumines twice daily and on average see results in a week. Learn more, watch our video, and order today at a special Coast website, healthylooking.com. Plus, there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's healthylooking.com. Lumines, for a healthier, much younger, better-looking you. Buy now at healthylooking.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of My Pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my health today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am chatting with Mike Larson. He is the editor of the Safe Money Report over at Weiss Ratings. You can also follow Mike on Twitter at his handle, RealMikeLarson. Mike, what I want to recap is a recent conference that you were at, the San Francisco Money Show, where off mic you mentioned to me that you still hear a lot of people focusing on and talking about these high-flying stocks. You're taking a different strategy, though, and that's what I want to touch on, is looking at some of these more unloved sectors that are still actually performing quite well and you think have much more run room to the upside. Can you please share some of these sectors with us first?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we're 9-plus years into this bull run and economic recovery that began back in early 2009. In the early and mid stages of a bull market, it's fine to be much more aggressive with your investment strategy. Things like tech, things like industrials, things like, energy, all this kind of like growthier type sectors are great when you're in the early phases of that. But at some point, the gains just get so astronomical that so much hot money has been piling into those sectors that it really becomes much more dangerous for an investor going forward. I mean, you've got to start considering the risk of, hey, has this thing gone far enough? And if any little disappointment comes along, what's that going to mean to my investments? You know, you look at some of these tech stocks, I mean, Amazon pushing almost $2,000. You've got Apple that's up every day. You've got, you know, these FANG names. There's so much love for them in the market that I actually did ran some numbers going back all the way to the late 1980s. And for the period of the last maybe year or so, growth, the Russell 1000 Growth Index has been outperforming the Russell 1000 Value Index to the greatest extent since the two-year period right around the top of the dot-com bubble. So in other words, only one other period in the last 30 years have you seen so much money dogpiling into growth over value, and that was basically at the top of the biggest stock market or tech stock market bubble in history. Now, you know, as an investor, I look at stuff like that. I look at the more compelling yields that you can get in sectors like utilities, like in some select REITs, like in consumer staples. I look at the cheapness of the stocks, and I say, okay, people have made a lot of money in chasing growth. You hear about these stocks 100 times a day on CNBC, but nobody's a champion of these higher-yielding, higher-rated, more conservative, and more defensive-type names. And I think that the time to start rotating out of the former and into the latter is definitely here. I characterize it as my leaders to laggards and laggards to leaders strategy. And I think that, you know, that makes a lot of sense when you look at what's going on in the yield curve, when you look at where we are in terms of just, you know, euphoric sentiment, euphoric approach towards some of these tech names. And it's not something I'm going to chase, you know. Does that mean I might leave some money on the table? Sure. But when you look at what happened to, say, Facebook, that was a loved stock. Everybody loved it. You couldn't find, I think there was out of 40-some-odd analysts, there were two that didn't have a buy rating on it. And then what happened? In a single day, that stock lost more than $119 billion in market cap when they warned of slowing growth going forward. So you look at that, the single biggest decline for any stock in any sector in the history of the U.S. markets, and you say, now what happens if Amazon comes out and has, I don't know, some problem with something, if they don't make as much money from their cloud business, or they have a slowdown in their core retail or whatever. I don't know what it's going to be. But, you know, whether it's Amazon, whether it's Apple, you get a disappointment out of one of these stocks, and they're not just going to drop, you know, a couple percent. I mean, you're going to be looking at 10, 15, 20% drops in a day or something potentially. There's just too much risk. So, again, I'm a more conservative investor. I like yield. I like having a margin of safety in the stocks I recommend. So that's what I'm focusing on, and that's where I think, you know, you can make decent money. Everybody thinks, oh, utilities are stodgy, utilities are boring. Well, guess what? A lot of the names I've been recommending are up 10, 15% in price from the start of the year. They're up maybe 10 percentage points more if you bought them at the lows back in the spring when nobody wanted to touch these things. And you're throwing a, you know, 2.5, 3, 4% yield on top of that. I think that's pretty attractive for an investor that has a, you know, a little bit more of a conservative bent.
It really just goes to show how much of a risk-on attitude investors have right now, and whether that is because they're trying to chase these high gains or just try to ride kind of the tail end of this wave. It's hard to actually say, but what do you think it says about the overall market in terms of the cycle that we're in when it still does seem like everybody is okay with taking on more and more risk?
Well, look, I've been in this business for a long time. I started working at a dot-com right out of college in the late 1990s. I've been through that cycle where money was basically free for anybody with a dot-com at the end of the name, and I saw what happened after the whole thing crashed. And I've been working on a book. I'm about 200 pages into one or so, looking at sort of what I'm calling the Uber bubble, which is kind of a play on words, because you look at the valuations of Uber, this company, we all may use its services, but they haven't made a single penny in operating profits in 9 years. They continue to bleed hundreds of millions of dollars every quarter, yet their valuation in the last year is up 1,333,000%. Does that make any sense to anybody, in the world? And to me, I would say, no, it really shouldn't. It's the same kind of garbage we saw going on at the peak of the dot-com bubble. So long story short, I think that we're very much in that sort of euphoric phase where private investors in some of these companies are paying nosebleed valuations for a bunch of me-too companies that have the same business plans that 50 other companies have. And it's not an environment where I think going forward your money's being treated very well by chasing that kind of stuff. Because I don't know if the NASDAQ's going to top out tomorrow or if it's going to be 6 months from now, but I know that the risk, the insane risk priced into some of the valuations of these companies, especially when you consider how far they've come, at a time the yield curve is flattening and the Fed is continuing to hike rates, I mean, that's not an environment where you want to be taking on an excessive amount of risk. So, you know what, like I said, I may leave some money on the table, but I'd rather do that than be at risk for some of these huge declines once you build up such a, or you have such a lack of a valuation cushion.
So in terms of some of these unloved sectors, and let's focus on utilities, and some of those stocks that you said are still up about 10% from the beginning of this year, so they're still performing well. They're not skyrocketing higher. Do you also see risk in these if we do see a general market pullback? Maybe instead of just Facebook taking that faceplant, we see a more broad faceplant made by the tech sector. Does that carry over into some of these unloved still assets?
Well, you know what's funny? I went back and looked at a market activity back in the year 2000 when you finally had the NASDAQ bubble start to pop. Obviously, the entire bear market didn't end until, you know, a couple years later. But what's interesting is the tech ETF, the XLK, all those ETFs, sector ETFs, started trading in the late 1990s. The XLK lost more than 40% in the year 2000. But you know what ended up finishing the year around up 22%? Both the XLP and the XLU, they invested in utilities and consumer staples. Now, ultimately, in the following year, when people realized this wasn't just a quick correction, this was the start of the bear market, those companies lost value, but nowhere near as much as what happened in tech. And when you factor in dividends and so on, depending when you bought, you lost very little in that bull market investing in the safer, higher-yielding type sectors. So I'm not saying that they're risk-proof or risk-free, but certainly, given the valuations and given that they have not had the kind of radical gains we've seen in tech, I think you're a lot better off in those kinds of sectors. Now, I'd also say you want to be carrying a higher cash cushion or so as a result of where we are in the cycle. I mean, in my own personal 401k, like I've been saying, I pretty much have the highest cash cushion I've had in many, many, many years. Now, does that mean I leave a few gains on the table? Sure, but I'll sleep better at night based on where we are. The model portfolio for the Safe Money Report, for example, I put a little bit of money to work last month, so we got about 25-30% in cash. But what I've been recommending in that service is, more conservative type names. One thing that was beaten down, actually dirt cheap, if you don't mind the pun, is the fertilizer sector. I was looking at some of the plays in there that have decent yields, have decent Weiss ratings and so on, and came across this company by the name of Israel Chemicals, ticker symbol ICL. That thing is up more than 6.5% just since we added it earlier this month, and that's had a nice breakout. It's been beaten down forever. These companies that are in sort of the potash and other fertilizer businesses are dirt cheap, and they have, in the case of Israel Chemicals, a pretty decent yield. So that's the kind of name that, again, you've got a margin of safety. It's been beaten down. Maybe those are the kinds of things you should be looking at, not the stuff that's already been going up 50, 60, 70% just this year alone.
All right, there you have it from Mike Larson from the Safe Money Report. Mike and I did continue our conversation, so if you want to hear that full version, please come onto our website, kereport.com. Click on the weekend show posting under segment 3.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Broadcasting to over 1,000 radio stations, GCN programming is in all of the largest markets. A GCN advertising career could be the business opportunity you've been waiting for. Companies need hardworking representatives just like you to handle their needs, while you earn residual income which can last for years. Companies are buying and they need you. Email advertise at gcnlive.com or call 877-996-4327. That's 877-996-4327.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text while driving.
If you've been in business more than 20 minutes, you've probably printed your logo on all kinds of promotional products. We all know logos work because they're on everything from the top of skyscrapers to the bottom of shoes. Ever wondered why or how to best use your logo to grow your business? Let us show you today for free. We're 4imprint, promotional product experts at your service. We're giving away the latest issue of Amplify, the digital magazine that reveals promotional product success stories absolutely free to everyone who texts UP77 to 88988. At 4imprint, we make your logo look perfect on thousands of promotional items. With our 100% guarantee, it'll be right the first time, on time, every time. Your free e-magazine will reveal invaluable insights that can attract new customers, build your brand, and grow your business. Get the latest issue of Amplify absolutely free by texting UP77 to 88988. That's UP77 to 88988.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call, 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. I am featuring a replay of a segment that was posted Friday morning. This is a conversation that I had with Dana Lyons. He is a fund manager based out of Chicago, a regular guest on our show. We talk about the U.S. markets first, but then we get into the precious metals. Pay close attention to what Dana, who is a more generalist investor, has to say about the metals. I hope you all enjoy. Dana, I first want to talk about what's going on in the U.S. stock market. We are, again, pretty much at all-time highs, a little bit of a sell-off yesterday, but overall, I think August was one of the best Augusts that the markets have experienced in a long time. So overall, you do have to say that these markets, even though, again, volume is low and breadth is kind of weak, the trend does still seem to be up. What do you think? Will this continue?
Is showing no signs or little signs of stopping at this point. As we've talked about, I think the last few times we spoke, we mentioned the breakout in large caps was probably inevitable, but that, you know, we were not chasing those. We don't have, not all of our indicators are in line and in sync with confirming this breakout, so to speak, in large caps. But as we have discussed in the past, we've been much more on the small caps and mid caps, which pretty much what we're seeing now is the large caps catch up to those, the smaller caps, which, you know, we saw the small caps break out really back in May and the mid caps like a month ago or so. So basically you're seeing the catch up on large caps, which obviously gets more attention. You got the financial media is focused on the S&P and the Dow and whatnot. So and then not to mention the NASDAQ, which broke out, last spring, basically. So we've been much more in tune tune into those higher relative strength areas, which are actually getting almost extended at this point, even as the popular large cap averages are just now breaking out. So I think you could see a little bit more upside in the short term, perhaps, just as this momentum carries it, maybe a little bit higher. I'm not sure. We are not chasing this breakout necessarily because, again, we've been in some areas that have already run pretty well. But there are some other areas of the market that are kind of consolidating right at those prior highs from back in January that might be setting up for a decent move higher. And once they break out, you know, maybe the next areas to attempt a catch-up move at least. But we're not chasing necessarily this breakout or overloaded up on equities at this point, but certainly we could see momentum carry us a little bit higher.
Now, Dana, what about the fact that we've been seeing some of the defensive sectors perform quite well? Utilities, consumer staples, money's been flowing into these sectors. Is that telling you anything? Maybe investors are getting a little bit more defensive?
I think maybe it's just we've been seeing this rotation theme for a couple of years now, and perhaps that's like I mentioned, some of these areas have already broken out and run the moves have run their course, or at least have seen the lion's share of those gains to be had already. So you're seeing some rotation back into some areas like consumer staples, which bounced right off of our levels we noted back in I think May, and we think the rally in consumer staples have probably run its course at this point, but you're seeing other defensive, like you mentioned, like some high yielding proxies like utilities and real estate, which have actually, they had been range bound, they've broken through some resistance, and if you're looking for plays that are not so extended and not trying to chase this breakout higher, those might be some areas that might present decent risk-reward opportunities from this point, especially if we see yields pull back based on, you know, the record speculatory shorts and treasury bonds. If that starts to unwind and you see rates pull back, that certainly should be a boon for utilities and real estate. And that might be one area that has not gotten as much attention that could certainly see some more upside from here.
All right, Daniel, let's switch into the metals, because last time we chatted, you even mentioned that, you know what, the metals were due for a bounce, and that bounce did happen pretty much on the day that we were talking. But the fact of the matter was, you were saying you still weren't going to play that bounce because you thought it would be relatively short-lived. What we have seen is gold get a decent buy, but still, if you look back on day-to-day trading, it was just a couple days that moved gold higher, and now we have the monthly close right at around 1200. The fact of the matter is, though, that the gold stocks and silver, the silver stocks, they haven't really shared in this bounce at all. What's your recap and synopsis of that bounce we've seen?
Basically, as you described it, I appreciate the pat on the back. Last time we talked, I think, was on that low day 2 weeks ago when we saw, you know, the losses in the precious metals complex really accelerate into a crash-like waterfall. And they did get down to, speaking of the precious metals, speaking of like the GLD and some of the gold miner indices, the XAU, the Gold Bugs, HUI, we saw some of these indices actually hitting some of the levels that we've been looking at as, you know, potential support, not more like knife-catching support levels. So we did mention at the time that we thought it was probably a good risk-reward return prospects to attempt to catch the knife at that point if you're into such plays, which we are not typically. So they weren't really major levels that we're looking at, more levels that would probably break the fall, you know, maybe produce some sort of a short-term dead cat bounce, as you mentioned. And actually, we've seen that exact thing unfold over the last couple of weeks. And I would say it wasn't the type of play that we're interested in. And as I mentioned at the time, we'd be more interested in, after viewing the nature or the quality of such a bounce, if it was to come, we'd be more interested in selling that bounce. And the nature of the bounce since then has been pretty poor, I would say, pretty anemic, more, you know, of the dead cat variety. So at this point, we'd be lining up to sell this thing if it goes a little bit higher in the, if you're talking specifically in levels on the GLD, if it gets up around 115 and a half or so, in the GDX, if it got up close to 20, you know, in the high 19s, in the gold bugs index, up in the mid to upper 150s, we'd be screaming out the door in these things. So I would say, at best, these types of waterfall declines and bounces, anemic bounces, at best, you're typically going to see at least a retest of those lows, and at worst, you might see another leg down. And especially in silver, you're seeing probably the worst bounce among across the complex in silver. So that would be one area I would guess that we'll see another leg down.
All right, one thing to consider, again, on these monthly closes is even gold, which had held up there better, is closing below that Bollinger Band, close below a lot of the key moving averages that we follow, and for silver, GDXJ and SLV, those are continuing lower, again, below those lower Bollinger Bands. You talked about retesting some of those lows. If we look at, let's say, SLV, are you talking about those lows at the tail end of 2015, or do we go even further back to the end of 2008 when it was even lower at those levels?
Well, I think the first stop certainly would be those 2015-16 lows around $13 would be the obvious next level, and certainly we're getting close to the lows already from a couple weeks ago, so we would not be surprised to see a move down in the SLV close to that 13 level pretty quickly here in the next few days or weeks if this 13.5 goes by the board. So that would be probably a pretty quick target, especially given the anemic nature of the bounce in the SLV. So I would say in the bull's favor and in the gold bug's favor, from the standpoint of the trader's position, commitment of trader's positioning in the futures, we are seeing, we wrote a post on this the other day, we are seeing speculators, their net short position in gold futures. The speculators have gone net short for the first time since 2002. As people know, these guys are usually wrong at key junctures, at turning points. So that is one thing lining up in the favor of the gold bugs. I would say that's typically not a catalyst. So you need to see some sort of a price turn or a reversal. You need to start seeing prices move higher to cause these people to start covering those shorts. But once that does happen, that's a pretty good tailwind that could produce a decent bounce, something more substantial than we've seen over the last couple weeks, certainly. So that's something in the favor. But again, you're going to need some sort of a catalyst to unleash that short covering.
All right, Dan, I do appreciate your comments. Always enjoy having you on the show. I hope everybody enjoyed this first hour of the weekend edition. Please keep in touch. Fleck at KEReport.com. I love hearing from all of you. Everybody, have a great long weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit KEReport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. readytoeatbacon.com.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.